Welcome back to the Sacred Penning Podcast. I'm your host, Becca Ray. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, international best-selling author, and a transformative soul journaling practitioner. I've experienced and taught the power of this sacred practice for 24 years and journaled since the age of 8. Every Wednesday, we provide somatic, meditative inspiration and spirit-led prompts to pen your way to brighter days. Let's activate energetic discoveries together. It's all at your fingertips. Ready to get gritty? Let's dip in. Hello, and welcome back to the Joyful Journaling Podcast. I'm your host, Becca Ray. I cannot believe that it's time to close our journey with Julia Cameron's Write for Life. Season 3 has been all about dipping in, delighting, and discovering the truths about a writing for life practice applied to journaling for life. I know that going through this book a few times now, that I have definitely opened my eyes to the role of journaling and writing in my own life. It has reinforced my faith in journaling, reinforced my faith in my author's voice, and my author's journey. As I record this podcast today, I am 4 days away from what is likely to be a Friday where I become a best-selling international author. It's been quite the year for me, and journaling, of course, has been my companion throughout it all. Many of the words that I have dedicated to the pages of my journal to an audience of one have become not just one, but two books over the course of the past year. It's also birthed this podcast to help other writers and humans discover the voice that they have hiding within. So thank you so much for being with me along this journey. Let's dive in. When we think about chapter 5, which is called Dismantle Your Perfectionist, of course, we are going to return to the question of honesty and the question of authenticity. Each step of the way, the primary lesson has been to be ourselves and to be honest with ourselves. Whatever comes out on the page can stay on the page, but it can also be a transformative experience for how we live life outside the pages of our journal. To quote Julia Cameron, "It matters less what you write than that you write. Morning pages allow us to let off steam. Think of a tea kettle building up pressure. When we tip the kettle and allow water to flow, the built-up pressure is siphoned off. So it is with daily writing. As we allow our words to flow on the page, we experience relief and satisfaction." End quote. When we talked about when to write and how to write, we looked at spending the morning opening up your journal and giving it a page and a half of love. And then at the end of the day, doing some journaling in gratitude and reflection with another page and a half. Our pages are daily journal pages, but the practice of being honest and authentic in that process can help provide the same results. In the last chapter of content in this book, before the celebration chapter, which is chapter 6, Julia Cameron gives us a few last tips to make sure that what we are dedicating ourselves to shows up on the other side, our real lives. One of the tools that she gives us is media deprivation. I know, no podcast, no YouTube, no social media, no newspaper, no Kindle, no books, nothing. Consume nothing. It's a very interesting task to try. She says that it is a trick, though, that will help us reach back to wisdom. Quote, "Forbidden words call to us. We are banning words, and the forbidden words begin to build up ahead of steam. We are all addicted to words, and when words are forbidden, we find ourselves restless, irritable, and discontent. We miss our words. We are tempted to cheat, to read just a little, but not reading pays off. We sense its wisdom." End quote. Can you do it? Can you try a week of what she calls media deprivation? Not reading? Anything that you don't have to for your survival or your job. I have tried this experiment a couple of times, especially with social media. After spending a year and a half engrossed in educating students online, and delving into a freelance business of helping other authors and podcasting, I needed a social media deprivation time. I gave myself some time to declutter my brain and to find the words that I needed to express myself again, not only within my journal, but within my life. And it was truly helpful. Another piece of advice she gives in Chapter 5, treating yourself like a precious object. Do you treat yourself like a gem, like a diamond, like a proper special vessel? Do you treat yourself like a precious object? Remember, one of the things we discussed early on in this podcast, early on in this season, was who are you journaling with and who are you doing it for? You are a sacred being. Your presence is enough. You wouldn't have to write a thing to provide your worth. So are you treating yourself as such? Do you listen to your body? Do you listen to when your mind is cluttered or needs a rest? Do you practice self-care in all different areas of your life? Do you practice all the seeds of self-care? There are many different coaches out there that are willing to walk you through if you don't have proper boundaries or you're not treating yourself as precious as you are, or other people are taking advantage of the precious person that you are. It shows up in your writing. She says, quote, "Do not demand of yourself more than you can comfortably accomplish. Feel your stores of energy. Are you asking more than your reserves allow? Writing requires energy. Recognize that fact," end quote. If you're noticing you're opening up your journal and there's not a lot of energy to bring anything to the page, it's probably showing up outside your journal too. Another recommendation she gives is bribing ourselves, rewarding ourselves. When we get out of the habit of journaling, maybe giving ourselves something special to come back to. For example, I love a new, comfortable, gorgeously gliding blue gel pen. I'm not sure what it is for you, but maybe it's treating yourself to journaling at your favorite coffee shop or going out on your deck at a certain time of day to see how the light hits your plants or hearing the whispers of the wind as a storm is coming and you want to capture it. Bribing yourself and rewarding yourself can help you reconnect to journaling if you're losing touch. And speaking of connection, that's the next thing that she recommends. Sounds interesting when you're thinking about a one-on-one activity, but connection and writing are made for more. Julia Cameron says, quote, "We write to express ourselves, but we also write to connect. Connection is a primary human need," end quote. We are just doing this for ourselves at first. It is an audience of one. It is to feel the sacred and most beautiful parts of yourself come to light and reflect on those. It is to recognize the things we need to get gritty with and work through those. But it also is meant to help us connect when we leave those pages behind. And meeting with other people who write, other people who journal, and other people who we need to connect with by the lessons we learn within the journal is important. She also recommends taking breaks. Everybody needs a break, and that's part of self-care. It's wise to take a break. You honestly start to feel it in your core. You start to feel it in your spirit. Nature is one of the most beautiful ways to take a quick break so that you can get back to journaling, get back to expressing your thoughts clearly, and get back to making sure that the intentions you're setting for your life are on course. She mentions instances of beauty where she sets the pen down and takes her favorite types of breaks. Here's one of my favorite breaks that she describes. Quote, "The lower slopes are evergreen, juniper, and pinyon. Only as I climb to the heights do the aspen appear, all in their golden radiance," end quote. This reminds me of the beautiful scenery that we used to have up in Eastvale, up in the high Rockies. It also reminds me of the walk I took the other day. Imagine the breeze carrying every pine tree within a certain mile radius and having it wash over you as you take a walk. I would bottle this up and sell it, but you wouldn't be able to afford it because it's priceless. The breaks that I take in the Adirondack Mountains when I put my pen down are priceless. And she calls it, the quote, great creator showing off, end quote. But when we leave our journals and leave our writing behind, usually when we come back to it, it's going to be a whole fresh, new, and energetic perspective. She talks about dealing with rejection of particular manuscripts and pieces of writing, but I want to frame this in a way that we can also deal with rejecting ourselves as we work through our journals. Can we leave or dismantle the perfectionist as we go through our journaling process? I believe we can. She mentions friends who are writers and friends who believe in projects as, quote, believing mirrors, end quote. I believe my journal to be my own believing mirror. My journal serves in the same function of connection that Julia Cameron's writing friends serve her. She mentions that these treasured few, quote, gave me the courage not to give up. I wished for my friend the same courage, end quote. Does my journal encourage me to keep going, to not give up? Does it allow me to give the courage I need to myself and to other people who are getting gritty, dipping in to lighting and discovery? In our journals and in our writing, we're also able to climb over what Julia Cameron calls the wall. She says, quote, the moment we are willing to write badly, we begin to have freedom. The wall no longer dominates our emotional landscape. Instead, like convicts striving to escape prison, we do well not by scrambling over the wall, but by digging our way to freedom under it. Most of us find this approach to the wall a novel idea. We are not really willing to write badly, and yet when we give ourselves permission, we find that by being willing to write badly, we may write very well indeed, end quote. All of your writing is accepted here. And instead of trying to climb and jump over that wall or not giving yourself permission to take that U-turn that we were talking about last week, getting gritty, digging in, going under, doing the work, and coming out the other side, of course, to joy. She closes the chapter in a beautiful way. And that's what we do here on the Joyful Journaling Podcast and within my Joyful Journaling group. We, quote, wrote to each other of our delights, end quote. Journaling is a private practice with an audience of one, generated from an audience of one, a love letter to ourselves that we share with the world around us. We share our joy. What do we find on the other side of doing this work? What do we find worth celebrating that unites us and helps us communicate as the collective of humanity, focusing on the things that matter authentically to us and the direction that we want to take, humanity itself. I hope that when you dip in delight and discover, you too go under the wall and come out to the other side of joy. Next week, we are going to have a journal party. I am asking you to join me in celebration, just like chapter 6 is of Julia Cameron's book. But I'm going to have a pop-up retreat, and I'm going to record, of course, with permission, some of our participants' experiences in the world of journaling and what journaling has done for them. And as a matter of fact, that celebration is going to carry over into season 4. I hope that you'll consider joining our retreat next week, our pop-up retreat, giving your feedback and having your voice heard about what it's like to commit to not just a write for life practice, but a journal for life practice. We'll see you next week for the celebration, and season 4 is going to be one tender to my heart, a soul sojourn for the summer, and I can't wait to have you along on that journey too. Let's take a deep breath in to ground ourselves, to end this book with our prompt. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Today's journal prompt: what do you delight in? Again, what do you delight in? Let's dismantle that perfectionist over the next 5 minutes to Masood Taj's beautiful Unconditional Love track, and let us know, what do you delight in? We'll see you in 5. I'm interested to see what you delight in, what brings you joy. We're going to reflect on this prompt, and I want you to circle three things that came up for you in those 5 minutes. Maybe you had one theme that is running throughout that entry, and maybe you had a bunch of things pop up, but three things that really make you smile. As you're looking back at that prompt, what do you delight in? When I did this prompt a couple of weeks ago, I can tell you that I was smiling the entire time that I reflected on it, because I realized that the things that I delight in aren't the things that other people delight in. And that's what makes me beautifully unique. We have points of connection, and then we have points that make us wonderfully and uniquely made. What do you delight in? What came up the most on my page was vulnerability. I delight in vulnerability. I delight in people being authentic, being themselves, and watching them grow as they commit themselves to this process. We develop the most intimate points of connection when we share our stories from a real and authentic and often vulnerable place. I would love to hear what you delight in. Vulnerability is something I delight in. Nature is something I delight in. and discovering who I am as I get closer to 50 and kind of crossing the next milestones in my life is what I delight in. One of my values is growth, and I hope that this season has helped you grow in terms of not only dismantling your perfectionists, but finding delight and finding joy. Please join me for all the bonus episodes this week. We are going to be celebrating the road to the book that is coming out on Friday, Ignite Your Faith. And I have interviewed three very special authors who are on that journey with me in that book. And they're going to explore how creativity and writing and documenting what they know is true onto the page and in their artwork and in their very lives has transformed not only their own life, but the lives of those around them, their communities, and some of them, people all over the globe. This is an international collection of stories from people of all faiths, and the three people that are sharing their stories, I hope will ignite you to think about what gives you hope and lifts you up when you think that life has to be perfect and you couldn't dare put it on the page. Keep journaling, joyful journalers. I'm so proud of you this season. Keep up the great work.